Let's see, where are we here now? Mr. Lawson, you're done, I think.
Amen.
Ms. Jennings.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. Per your direction, two meetings ago, I met with Susan Kent of Code Purple, Sussex County, about emergency shelter funding. Code Purple provides shelters during cold weather months, and the network is about 6 main shelters and 3 overflow shelters. Code Purple, Sussex County, sees a real need for their emergency funds to keep these shelters open. Nearly 80% of their costs are in-kind and come from community response. Typically, a shelter is open 12 hours, usually 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., but during the cold winter months, they've had to open up their shelters overnight, so 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. That's happened 7 days this season. So the shelters have seen an increase in energy costs, water costs, and unexpected repairs. I have identified $25,000 that can be used as an emergency fund. The request would be administered by Susan Kent of Code Purple, Sussex County, through the coordination of my finance department. The funds will cover costs such as the increased costs in utilities, unexpected building repairs, increased need in supplies such as cots and food. So if there are no other questions or comments, I'll proceed working with Susan Kent of Code Purple and move forward with the emergency funding.
I did.
Mr. Cole.
I thought about this since I talked to you, but I know there's Code Purple in the county, but there are other organizations, correct?
Yes.
Could this funding be used for other than just Code Purple, or are we just going to limit it to Code Purple
at this point? We are limited just to Code Purple for the emergency funding. So when it's cold, when it's snowing,
right,
they're not. Those are the ones most effective. The other ones are transitional. They're open 30 days. There's
okay.
other types. There's a lot of different homeless shelters. So
okay,
this
so
one specifically,
Code Purple is the one that's providing.
That has, right. They have 9 shelters.
Well, I know that. I just didn't know if there was others doing some similar.
Yeah, we're going to focus on them.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Anything else from council? Thank you, Mrs. Jennings, for that effort and locating some funding that, if needed, they can use. They do a good job of what they do, and I'm glad we can help them.
Thank you.
Jim Hicken, Airport Advisory Committee appointments.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As you may remember, our Airport Advisory Committee members' terms expire every year at the end of December. So I'm here to ask you to reappoint our current committee, and you presented their names in the packet. I can answer any questions or just read the motion.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
How many meetings have these people made?
We do have an attendance list. I don't have that with me. I don't have any concerns about anybody in particular missing an excessive number of meetings.
How many times do you meet?
Quarterly.
Quarterly. So you meet 4 times a year.
Right.
What would you see as excess missing meetings?
I would say half of those.
Yeah, nobody's missed half.
I don't know off the top of my head, but like I said, I don't have any concerns about people's attendance right now.
Okay. You want to make sure they're participating, that's all.
Correct.
Maybe it's good some people don't show up, Mike, on some of the.
That's another point.
In order to have a meeting, you should have a corner.
I know some people on committees. I'm glad they don't show.
You have a motion.
Sure. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council appoints Gus Kroll, Garrett Dernoga, Rick Garner, Larry Kelly, Jeffrey Reed, Mark Ryan, and Richard Wilson to the Delaware Coastal Airport Advisory Committee for 2018.
Pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Arlett. Questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Jeff Cox. MOU with clinical agreement between Nanticoke Memorial Hospital and Sussex County EMS.
Mr. President, Council, thank you for the opportunity to present to you a motion to approve Sussex County EMS Memorandum of Understanding with Nanticoke Memorial Hospital to allow our paramedics to practice clinical skills in the operating room and emergency department and observe and learn in some of their other clinical departments. This MOU is integral to our quality improvement program and a continuation of the clinical and educational partnership we have enjoyed with Nanticoke Memorial for 25 years. This MOU has been reviewed by our county attorney, Nanticoke's county attorney, and the Delaware Office of EMS. With your permission, may I read the motion?
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council approves the Memorandum of Understanding between Sussex County and Nanticoke Memorial Hospital to allow Sussex County EMS paramedics to practice clinical skills within Nanticoke Memorial Hospital.
Pleasure, Council.
Make a motion, we accept.
Motion, Mr. Wilson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
I'm happy to second that.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Medlars. Mr. Medlars.
I will try to reach him, Mr. President.
Okay. While you try that, we'll go to old business. Ms. Cornwell. And Mr. Robertson.
She's got enough books to hold us for a while. Yeah.
Telling you.
Well, I got this. So. There's Mr. Medlar.
Well, he's too late. You're up. Keep on going.
What we're here this morning still
is
for to bring back the commercial zoning ordinance. As you'll recall, council left the record open for written comments on that after the public hearing. And so I think first thing is, Ms. Cornwell, you just want to explain if we got any written comments.
We did not receive any comments within the 7-day time frame. We did receive comments after that, but that was after the 7-day time frame.
And so they won't be considered. We are in the process of reviewing the comments that were made during the public hearing. You'll recall that there were several and they were constructive. One of the things that we wanted to do today, at the hearing last time, I think Mr. Burton asked about, I'll call them generically separations between commercial zones and residential zone property or used property. And what we needed to do was go back and look at what the proposal said about that, and then with that kind of get some clarification. Because I know, Mr. Burton, you talked about, I think, buffers versus setbacks. I don't know if you're looking more at just more setbacks.
I'm looking more at both, but I was more concerned about the buffers.
Okay. Okay.
Between the commercial properties and a residential.
Okay. Currently in our code for commercial, there's a requirement that it says, and this is what I wanted some feedback on, there shall be a side yard, there shall be a side yard of not less than 20 feet in width on the side of the lot adjoining a residential district, and there shall be a rear yard not less than 30 feet in depth on the rear side of a lot adjoining a residential district. So that's superimposed on the regular setbacks if you're adjacent to a residential district, and that comes from note 3 on the table.
But that's not in addition, right? So that's that's the exact same setback that we currently have.
Yeah, if you're B1 or CR1 and you're next to residential, you've got 20 foot on the side where you're next to residential, and if there's residential in the rear, 30 feet.
Yeah, that's a concern to me.
That, do you want to have that in the new as well? Or
I think that's, I mean, I just think a commercial entity, right, 20 feet off of a residential property is not much separation.
Okay. Well, I guess we need some guidance on then what would be an appropriate amount of separation. One thing that comes into play, and this is sort of the part two of the question, in the new district, B2 only requires a minimum 3,000 square foot lot. C2 is only a 15,000 square foot minimum lot size, and C3 is larger. It's an acre. But if you take the 20 and the 30, or if you increase the 20 or the 30 on those, that really condenses the amount of space you can physically build on. Particularly if you take into account, you know, that you still have to have parking and stormwater management and things. So, you know, that was going to be my question, whether if you're going to have buffers or separation, do you want to exclude some of those smaller, less intensive zoning districts from that requirement?
Is there, and that's probably warranted, right? But is there in that 20 feet or the 30 feet, a landscaping a requirement or a fence or something?
There is not.
Not currently. It's just space.
Yeah, I would be more inclined to go on the smaller ones, more inclined to have more definition on buffer or fence or some kind of, I just want some kind of separation between a business and a residential home that could be, I guess, shielded.
Right.
is more where I'm going.
Okay. Well, and we have vegetated buffer requirements in our code. So, I mean, for subdivisions and things. So that template's there.
But that's on them, right? That's on the subdivision. That's on the residential side. There's nothing on the commercial
that's
side.
That's right. I'm just saying, but we can take those rules and apply them to commercial. Right. And okay. I think that's what
so
you're
So it's actually 30 feet, correct? 10 feet on residential and 20 feet on commercial.
Yeah, it depends on, yeah.
So it'd be actually 30 feet.
Depending on how it's configured 30, on the residential.
30 feet apart, if it's on, that's
well, no, because on residential, there would be, if it's a new subdivision, there would be a 30-foot.
Or 20-foot buffer.
Or, yeah, or 20-foot buffer, and then you'd have another 20 or 30.
About, I'm talking about the end of the house.
It would be even larger than that.
I'm talking about the end, not the front.
Side.
End, yeah. End of the back, not the back, the end.
The side of the house.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in a residential, you would have, you'd have the setbacks, and then you'd have the lot line, and then you'd have the buffer on the subdivision, and then you'd have the additional 20 or 30 on the commercial side. So that's a significant amount of space.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. It'd be at least 30 feet, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right. I think that we ought to just look at buffering or fencing and not changing the setbacks.
Okay.
Well, I think
on the smaller ones. Okay. Well, that gives us some guidance. What we can do is then go back and, like I said, reconsider some of the testimony in the public hearing, come back with a proposal on that. What we don't want to do is try to wing it today, because that's when, you know, things kind of tend to fall through the cracks.
Does fence, can you substitute a fence for the landscaping buffer?
Well, not in a forested landscape buffer for a subdivision.
No, I'm talking about on the commercial side. I mean, if you said, look, I'm...
That would be up to, if you want us to consider that, we can do
I mean,
look
I'm
at that option.
I'm not going to do the buffer against buffer, but I am going to...
opaque fence.
I'm going to do this fence to separate the business side of the land from the commercial side of the land.
We could do that.
We can definitely look into that.
And what kind of fence are we talking about? Chain link? Or are we talking about
No, I think what we're talking about is a fence that screens. You know, that's what I think Mr. Burns is going for.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that the landscaping on landscaping really does what I really, really want, as opposed to saying this is business and this is residential.
Okay.
And maybe there's an option that they could go either way
go
or
way
something.
And do one thing or just a fence. Okay.
I would just suggest... Possibly, we look. I just think that when you have vegetated buffers and things like that, some kind of requirement, it does soften the harshness of a lot of the commercial activity, and even if it's large or small. So I'd actually be kind of sympathetic to some kind of vegetated buffers, so we would have some green and some like trees and possibly things. And because I know, I'll use Ocean City, Maryland as an example, and this maybe is not a good example, but when they put the trees in the mediums, and when you went down through that highway system, they got like four lanes on each side, and they put those vegetated, they added trees and stuff, and then they also had some requirements in the commercial district in parking lots and things where they put trees and added vegetation, and it softened the harshness of some of the large buildings and the intense commercial activity. So I would be very supportive of vegetated buffers and fences maybe throughout all our commercial districts.
Well,
makes a bird drive, does it, George?
Makes it pleasant.
Don't blind your crazy bear.
Because Sam and I took a ride one time, and he just was pointing out all those pretty trees.
I guess the reason that I moved from landscape buffer to fences, right, mm-hmm. is that if you're in the back of the business, right, and you have this, it's not, the softness doesn't really make any difference to a lot of people, right?
Oh, I understand.
But not seeing the dumpster from the adjoining neighborhood may be pretty soft,
Right, but a fence in Sussex County is only allowed to be, 7 feet?
7 feet. The commercial fences actually can be taller than that.
They can be taller. But still, if you have townhouses, even a two-story house, the fence is fine, but it doesn't get, it only goes so high, where trees can grow taller and stuff. So again, I think it's beneficial all the way around. I don't see any reason why we should be not trying to improve the landscape here in Sussex County, especially in all districts. We do it in residential, and I think commercial could do it too. And again, I think it would
add to the quality of life.
Okay. Yeah, that gives us some direction.
Okay. I mean, I just think across all districts.
So I'm hopeful then, based on that, that we'll come back the next time it's on the agenda, and we can talk with Mr. Lawson and Mr. Benson on scheduling that. We'll have some, we'll have the recommendation for planning zoning, which we have now, and then we'll probably have some other recommendations just to...
How about interconnectivity? Where is that in this whole...
That's already actually in the code when you look at commercial site plan reviews. So
is it required?
No, but it's a consideration.
Because I just drove up 113 and I just saw a sign about rezoning on and 113 on both sides of the highway from what Millsboro all the way to Selbyville is zone C1. And why we wouldn't be requiring it, you know, interconnectivity on certain of these major roads. It's going to 20 years, 30 years down the road. It can only help, all I can tell you. And we ought to be requiring it. We know it helps. We know it works. So I don't think it's a burden that, you know, even if there's nobody, a field still on each side, they leave a stub here and they leave a stub there. So then in the future, this all connects. And, I mean, we need to, I talked about it 20 years ago, and here we are 20 years later, still not requiring it. I know it can be discussed, but I don't trust some of these boards when they discuss things that they'll do it, and they do it consistently. And if they do it a couple times and they forget a couple, you know, it should be required. So anyway, just some thoughts on that. I don't know about what anybody else thinks.
I would agree with that, Mr. Cole. My 15 years with the county, the commission, it really isn't something that's been looked at all that strongly at the commission level on commercial site plan reviews until recently.
Right.
There's a concerted action, and they're requiring it at the commission level, to the point where in certain situations they're sort of putting the burden back on the developers. We're requiring it, you know, unless you tell us it cannot feasibly be done.
If you just said they're requiring it, then we may as well require it because it's being done, and I've never heard a complaint yet, so I think it ought to be as a requirement at this point. If you've just made that comment that...
What I will look at is because we have to go by the way the ordinance was introduced in the sections mentioned. I think that may not be in this.
It's not.
In this one, yeah, so, but we can definitely...
Is that a major...
Yeah, because it was introduced and advertised without referring to that section. So, but I mean, that's an easy enough fix.
We can't do too much with corporate areas, say, like Millsboro.
No, that's true.
They moved all the way up now to Stokely.
Yeah, that's true.
So you can't do it. Now we're going to do
it. No, but south of Millsboro, unincorporated, all the way to the Maryland line, both sides are zoned commercial. They did it back in 1974 or whatever. And there it sits.
Sound like town pretty well comes in and takes that all over town.
No. This is outside of city limits between the towns. It's both sides of the highway. Back, 500 feet or something like that?
Yeah, 5 or 6.
Yeah, 500 or 600 feet. Same situation, Sam, we had on Coastal Highway between Five Points and into Rehoboth. Both sides were zoned that way. You see what we have here today. We can do some things to prevent it because I think some businesses like Sharp went out there, gas out there and bought a part of a field. And we're going to see 113, a major thoroughfare, getting more and more attention. So let's make the interconnecting required. And
Millsboro's come up past the Minnesota.
And
I think if we do that in conjunction with what DelDOT has proposed to us on their spending, what they're going to do on 113, as far as the intersection and improvements there, both of those will complement one another if we have them in place.
They got to get Millsboro done first, and now they got to get Route 9 done out here too. Out here's a new part.
Any more questions on the commercial zoning?
Let's go back to fences. You talk about building fences. Fences fall down. They be in the rocks, fall down, unless you put up a good fence, off a good fence. So probably the best thing is go back to what George said. Let's go back to the trees. And make sure to spruce trees, something like that.
Headlines, Sam Wilson, tree hugger.
Any more comments from council? Thank you.
Thank you. Give us some good direction.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Ms. Cornwell, you can just stay right around here.
Yep, just
don't leave.
Next thing on our old business is conditional use.